Let's also give just a hand to our online folks today. They're watching from all over the place. Some people are sick today and they couldn't make it to church, and there's folks that are watching from hospital rooms, and it's just awesome to be able to allow folks to come into our church service and worship with us from the internet. And so we got folks that are watching from all over the world. But let's give them a hand this morning. And we're so glad that you're watching with us today. And do us a favor and tell us where you're watching from, and also tell us how we can pray for you. But I'm Pastor Will. I'm one of the associate pastors here at Promised Land. Our senior pastor is in San Antonio preaching today. But I'm excited to be with you today. I'm excited to continue our sermon series today. We kicked off last week a sermon series called Hidden Christmas. And this is where we're really trying to go beyond the surface level details of what Christmas is. And we're digging deeper into the Christmas story. There's so many hidden truths about what God did during Christmas. And if you look at this slide up on the screen, you see Joseph standing there. You see the star of Bethlehem just shining down on Mary and that baby. And there's shepherds. And these shepherds were called by angels to come in. And there's these, it's such a beautiful scene. But so much is happening here. There's so much that was happening in the Christmas story. And when we often think of Christmas and we think of the baby Jesus, sometimes we do this without truly understanding the miracle of what actually took place on that day. You know, when we as humans try to wrap our minds around the miracle of the virgin birth, our minds can't even comprehend what happened. It's just such an amazing thing. It's a miracle. The baby Jesus. The story of that silent night, the shepherds, the angels, all of it is so amazing. And so much is surrounding this. And so this week, we're going to be digging deeper into a hidden Christmas. And I think, I'm fairly certain that everybody here loves Christmas. Am I right about that? Are there any Scrooges in the house? I didn't hear anybody say "Bah humbug" in here. But we love Christmas. We love Christmas. We love the songs. You know, the minute that Thanksgiving's over, they turn on all the Christmas songs. And so my family and I are in the car. We blast the Christmas songs and we sing them all. We get to wear our coats for 1 week in Texas in the winter. We buy these cool jackets and coats and we never get to wear them. But last week it actually got cold enough to wear a coat or a jacket or that hoodie. You know what's awesome about this season is our favorite Starbucks drinks come out. Come on, somebody. All right, yeah, somebody just got the Holy Ghost over there. Yeah, all right. But it's a time that we put up our decorations, we put up our trees, and there's this unspoken challenge / throwdown between me and my neighbors when it comes to Christmas lights. Every year, somebody seems to go a little bit more out. I walked out of my house, and one of my neighbors had one of those lasers that was like shining Christmas lights on everything, and I was like, oh, no, you didn't. I told my wife, babe, we're getting in the car right now. We're going to go get us a laser. I went and bought a laser. I did that. I think there's something in the Bible about thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's Christmas lights. It's in there somewhere. But the thing is, it really is an amazing time of year. It really is the most wonderful time of the year. But the truth is, Christmas is more than all of that. And we as the church, we as Christians, sometimes I wonder if we really grasp the deep meaning of the Christmas story. If we get caught up in what society gets caught up in, and gifts, and those things are good, and I'm not saying they're bad, but sometimes we lose track of what Christmas is all about what God did for us on that day. And so today I want to talk about a hidden truth of Christmas, what I believe is the true meaning of Christmas. I think it's found in the book of Matthew, and it's the most amazing story ever told. In Matthew 1 and 18, it says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God with us. And so this bit of verse, the scripture that I read, so many amazing things had happened. The Virgin Mary was overshadowed by the Spirit of God, and that thing conceived in her was born of the Holy Spirit. And here Joseph was dealing with thinking his betrothed, his young bride was unfaithful. And the Spirit of the Lord coming to him and saying, Fear not, Joseph. Fear not. So many amazing things happened in this bit of scripture. So many amazing things. I get excited about what God is doing. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not used to sitting on a chair and preaching. I like to get up and dance around and spit and preach and yell. So this is really hard for me that I'm sitting in this chair. But amazing things happen here. And Matthew says, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken. And what he was talking about Jesus, when he was talking about Jesus, he wasn't saying that Jesus was some great guy or that Jesus was some great teacher or some great leader or prophet or an angelic being. But what Matthew was saying was that this baby Jesus was the Almighty God Himself. The most direct statement of what he said Jesus was comes from verse 23. It says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And see, what this word comes from, what Emmanuel comes from, it comes from the Old Testament word El, which means God or Jehovah God. The one true God, Jehovah. The full name means El, and Emmanuel means God with us. And what Matthew was quoting, he was quoting from a prophet of old named Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah 7 and 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And just a few verses later, Isaiah goes on to describe what this baby would be, who this baby would be. It's probably one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. In Isaiah 9 and 6, it says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. The world would be upon his shoulders. He was King of Kings. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He was talking about a baby here. He said a child, a son that was given. Its name would be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And for centuries, Jewish religious leaders and scholars had known about this prophecy. They had heard about these scriptures. They had read them. But they didn't think that it should be taken literally. They thought that it would be some prophet or great leader through whose work God would figuratively be speaking to his people or being with his people. They didn't understand that. They didn't really quite understand what was happening here. And if you understood the Jewish culture and if you understood the Jews' view of God, it made them the last people on the planet who thought that God would come to earth as a human being. You see, the Jews, they wouldn't even pronounce the name Yahweh, the name of God. They wouldn't even pronounce it. In fact, they wouldn't even write it down because they felt as humans they were unholy to do so. And so this view of God was different than anything they'd ever imagined or anything they could have conceived in their minds. But Matthew, when Matthew said, "Behold," it comes from a Greek word called adia, which means stop. This is amazing. Think about this. This is something that's going to blow your mind. He said, "Behold, behold." He's saying this promise is greater than anything anybody has ever imagined. It's bigger than anything. It's bigger than anything we had thought, because the promise came true not just figuratively, but literally. Jesus Christ is God with us. Theologians, they call this the incarnation. And the word incarnations means incarnate, or the act of being made in the flesh. It's where we get the word carne. And I know that some of you, when I said the word carne, the first thing you thought of was carne guisada. I know. That made you hungry. I bet you'll never think of carne guisada the same way again, will you? But it means that God became flesh and dwelt among us. God became flesh. And that word incarnation actually comes from the scripture. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And in verse 14, it goes on to say this, that the Word was made into flesh, that the Word was flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so the miracle, the hidden miracle of Christmas, is that this precious tiny little baby was the Almighty God himself, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And so that tiny little human life that was growing in the womb of Mary was a miracle performed by God himself. That child was literally God. And each Christmas, there's a song that comes on, and it really, it's a very beautiful song, but it really wraps up this story of what God did for us. It said, "Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make us new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you have kissed the face of God." It's a beautiful song. A Christian theologian named J.I. Packer puts it this way: God became a man. The divine Son became a Jew. The Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless human baby, unable to do more than lie and stare and make noises, needing to be fed and changed and taught to talk like any other child. The babyhood of the Son of God was a reality. And the more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. Nothing in fiction is so fantastic as the truth of the incarnation. If we could just grasp how amazing this is, if our minds could actually comprehend how awesome it is that an all the Almighty God of heaven and earth that spoke the universe into existence humbled himself and became a baby. The scripture even says that, wow, this is probably the most amazing thing that ever happened. The scripture says that this is the greatest mystery that has ever taken place. In 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, or shown in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels. He was preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. What a mystery. And when we realize who Jesus really was, when we realize and we comprehend and we understand who Jesus really was, and we understand that everywhere Jesus went, people's lives were changed forever. Whoever met or heard Jesus would have a very, very extreme reaction. You see, Jesus polarized everybody he came across. Some would be so absolutely furious with Jesus and the things that Jesus would say that they'd want to stone him or throw him off a cliff. He would say things to them like, before Abraham was I am. Basically, Jesus was saying and calling himself the great I am of the Bible. The I am. And they said, wait a minute, you can't say that you're the I am. You're not even older than Abraham. This is blasphemy. They didn't believe he was who he said he was. They'd become so furious with him, they'd want to kill him. But there were others. When they realized who he was, they would bow down and worship him. When they realized who he was, they realized that they were in the presence of the Most High God. Peter, when Peter figured out who Jesus was, he was on his boat. And Peter had been fishing all night long. And the Lord spoke to Peter. And he said, Peter, cast your net on the other side of the boat. And Peter said, Lord, we've been fishing all night long. We haven't caught a thing, but at your word, I'll do it. And when he cast that net on the other side and began to try to pull that net up, he couldn't because it was full of fish. It was miraculous. It was a miracle. And in that moment, you would think Peter would say, wow, thank you, Jesus. This is awesome. Instead, he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. At that moment, he realized he was in the presence of the Almighty God of heaven and earth. He was just like Moses, where he realized he was standing in a boat on holy ground. He was in the presence of the Most High God. Why the extremes? Why were there extremes? Why did some want him to be king and others want him to be crucified? It was because of who he said he was. It was the claims that he made. You see, they either believed that he was God or they believed that he was a fraud. He was God or a fraud. There wasn't any middle ground. Because if you believe that Jesus was who he said he was, if you believe that he was God with us, you would have to center your whole life on him. Because what a miracle. And if he wasn't who he said he was someone to hate. He was someone to run away from. And many did. But Jesus, by the life that he lived, by his miracles, by his claims, by his resurrection, convinced his closest Jewish followers that he was much more than just a prophet telling us how to find God. But it was God himself come to find us. What I think that is most personal about this story to me is that God didn't send somebody else. God didn't say to somebody, hey, I love these people so much that I would like for you to go and die for them. But he came himself for us. That's what Christmas is. That's the meaning, the hidden meaning of Christmas. That Jesus is our Emmanuel, our God with us. And Jesus spoke in parables. He would explain very complex and complicated things like this in parables because our minds really sometimes can't really comprehend what he's saying to us. And so I want to give you a modern day parable. It's called The Story of the Man and the Birds. I'm going to tell you about a man who was mostly a good man. He was generous to his family. He was upright in his dealings with other men, but he just didn't believe all of that incarnation stuff about God becoming a man. The stuff that churches proclaim around Christmas time. It just didn't make sense to him, and he was too honest to pretend otherwise. He just couldn't swallow that story about God coming to earth as a man. "I'm truly sorry to distress you," he told his wife, "but I'm not going with you to church this Christmas Eve." He said he'd feel like a hypocrite, that he'd much rather just stay home, but he would wait up for them. And so he stayed, and then they went to the midnight service. And shortly after, the family drove away in their car, snow began to fall. He went to the window to watch the snow flurries getting heavier and heavier. Then he went back to his fireside chair and began to read his newspaper. Minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound, then another. Sort of a thump or a thud. At first, he thought someone must be throwing snowballs against his living room window. But when he went to the front door to investigate, he found a flock of birds huddled miserably in the snow. They'd been caught in the storm and in a desperate search for shelter had tried to fly through his large landscape window. Well, he couldn't just let those poor creatures lie there and freeze. So he remembered the barn where the children stabled their pony. That would provide a warm shelter if he could just direct the birds to it. So quickly he put on his coat and his shoes and he trampled through the deepening snow to the barn. He opened the doors wide and he turned on a light, but the birds did not come in. He figured food would entice them, so he hurried back to the house and he fetched breadcrumbs and he sprinkled them on the snow to make a trail to the yellow-lighted, wide-open door to the stable. But to his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs. They continued to flop around helplessly in the snow. He tried catching them. He tried shooing them into the barn by walking around and waving his arms. Instead, they scattered in every direction except into the warm, lighted barn. Then he realized that they were afraid of him. To them, he reasoned, "I'm a strange and terrifying creature. If only I could let them know that they could trust me, that I'm not trying to hurt them, but to help them. But how? Because any move he made tended to frighten them and confuse them. They just would not follow. They would not be led or shooed because they feared him. If only I could be a bird," he thought to himself, "and mingle with them and speak their language. Then I could tell them not to be afraid. Then I could show them the way to the safe, warm barn." And at that moment, he realized why God became Emmanuel, our Emmanuel, God with us. And at that moment where he understood, the church bells began to ring. The sound reached his ears above the sounds of the wind. He stood there listening to the bells, pealing the glad tidings of Christmas. And he sank to his knees in the snow. You know, the real story of Christmas is that when the world was so very dark, when there was no visible light at all in the darkness, when we couldn't find God, God came to find us. Our God showed up as a little baby, not to bring judgment, but to take on our judgment. To pay the penalty for our sins. And I want you to know today that our God is not some far away, unknowable God, but he's a God who comes near. And he came to be with us to take away the barrier between God and man so that we could be together. And I have a question for you today. Have you ever been betrayed? Have you ever been lied to? Have you ever been abused? Have you ever been lonely or hungry, tired or worn? Have you ever been left alone and mistreated? So is he. You see, Jesus knows what you have been through and what I have been through because he has been through it himself. You see, we serve a God who is near, a God who is with us, a God that walks with us, a God that loves us so much that he came down from glory to be with us. So if you're here today and you feel far away from God, know this, that our God moved heaven and earth to be with you. He is your Emmanuel, a God that is with you. Can we stand this morning? Let's pray. God, thank you for coming down. Thank you for being Emmanuel, a God that is with us. Thank you, God, for loving us so much that you moved heaven and you moved earth and you laid down your glory and you became a precious little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. The light that shined in the darkness. Thank you for being a God that is near. A God that is with us. You're not some far away, unknowable God, but you're a personal God who came himself to be with us. And God, this morning we give you our heart again. We give you our lives again. We want to center our lives on you, God, because we believe you are who you said you were. And God, we come to you this morning. We offer our devotion. And we know what the season's all about. We know what Christmas means. That you came to be with us. And God, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we give God some glory right now in this house? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful he's a God that is near. We want you to know that at the end of every service that we're going to have pastors and leaders down here at the front. If you want to come down here for prayer today, we would love to pray with you. We also offer baptism at the end of every service as well. So what an awesome day to be buried with Jesus in baptism. We've got water, we've got a pastor, we've got the name of Jesus. So if you want to be baptized today, we would love to baptize you. But if you need to go, go in the name of Jesus. Be blessed and know that God is with you. He is our Emmanuel, God with us. We'll see you again here next week. God bless.